Hi, it's JC with the top five reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number one, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. Two, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. Three and four, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number five, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is a playoff edition for Week 14. And I thank Hooters. Third straight year, they have been the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We've been doing this podcast for 4 years. We had our regular season finale watch party event with all four leagues that I commissioned represented on Monday night at Hooters. And I just sincerely thank them for their support, for allowing me to host events at their restaurants, primarily one of their 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue, thanks to Bobby Pena, Camilla, Ty, previous to that, Brooke. We feel very at home there and already are looking ahead to our largest draft event ever if Hooters will take us back one more year in 2020. We have increased the amount of people and the amount of leagues that we've had for the podcast every year with Hooters sponsorship. And we had a good time on Monday night. For those of you that did not join us, just stay tuned to the Todd Wright Toddcast, because the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast will go away after the fantasy season comes to an end, and the Todd Wright Toddcast will continue. And anyway, just well down the road, I'm already brainstorming how to do an even bigger and better multi-day draft event at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa in August of 2020. Thank you very much to Hooters. My email, you can email me your fantasy questions Monday through Saturday. If you email me on Sunday, you will not get a response. That's my day for my leagues, my golf tournaments, my business. I'll write you back 6 of the 7 days. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. And please ask questions in a complete sentence. Tell me your situation. I'm not doing TV here. I'm not doing Twitter. This isn't I have A, B, C, D, E, and I need to start two of those and one of these. No. This isn't like Rodney Dangerfield walking into the pro shop in Caddyshack. Give me two of those. Give me six of those. It's not like that. And give me your opinion on what you're thinking of, because I want to know your line of thinking, and then I'll give you a second opinion, and we'll go from there. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Let me go just by position for week 14. Let me talk some quarterbacks. We'll talk some running backs, talk some wide receivers. I'm not going to talk about the obvious plays. Let's just talk about ones that stand out to me, good or bad. Patrick Mahomes' numbers have been down recently. Not telling you to sit him. Deshaun Watson blew up against the Patriots defense a week after Dak Prescott did not. By the way, Deshaun Watson is fantastic in December. The problem for the Texans is not so much in January. But Mahomes' numbers are down. They are down. So if you're counting on Mahomes to lead you single-handedly against the Pats to a playoff win here in Week 14, you're going to need someone else. I'm not saying bench Mahomes. You're going to need your other starters to provide points. Russell Wilson's numbers are down a little bit. They stay committed to the run there in Seattle. We'll talk about it in the wide receivers, but there's been a trend more to DK Metcalf and not so much to Lockett. There was an injury to Lockett a couple of weeks ago, but that might have a little bit to do with it. Tom Brady, that's a tough thing. I would imagine by now, those of you on Brady are either in or out, and you've been in or out for a few weeks, so you're not changing your mind week 14. You're either riding it or you've benched him a couple of weeks ago. I wouldn't bench Josh Allen against the Ravens. I believe in the Bills. I'm not saying they definitely win the game. I just believe in the Bills. Josh Allen has been a more than capable QB1 in fantasy for the better part of month and a half, 2 months. Even with John Brown's numbers spiking against the Cowboys. Not against the Cowboys. It was the previous game because it was Cole Beasley who had the big game against the Cowboys. Last couple weeks, Brown's numbers back down, which is exactly what he did with Joe Flacco in Baltimore. Not huge on Kyler Murray, second week in a row. I haven't looked into the hamstring issue as much. I'm sure it's better than it was a week ago. Still don't like the matchup. I don't like the team. I don't mind the player. And Murray can still get you a rushing touchdown to bail you out and just get you 6 points, but I think you can do better. Ryan Tannehill's hot. The Titans are hot. Ryan Tannehill also using his legs. Very, very capable of giving you the points you're looking for. If you are unhappy with who you have as options for a playoff starting quarterback in fantasy. Mayfield, to me, it's okay this week, especially because it's Cincinnati. Goff, some are trying to sell that for 2 weeks in a row. I'd be a little more hesitant. Fitzmagic and Devontae Parker have some great things going. I know with Fitzmagic, it can end at any moment, and Devontae Parker, suddenly someone actually told him he was playing in the National Football League, and the last 3 weeks he's been wide receiver one. Not for the Dolphins, for the entire league. Wide receiver one. Let's move on to running backs. Again, ignoring the obvious. Ever since both Barkley and Kamara had their high ankle sprains, they've not been the same. Not saying you sit them, but it's hard to see. You know, neither of them have scored very much. And I don't know at this point that it's predictable that you're going to get that, what they call touchdown, either progression or aggression. And with Eli's return, I don't know that that's great for Saquon Barkley. Not really sure what to look into it at this point. Both Barkley and Kamara play extremely hard, but they have paled in comparison in that overall top three back in draft season to what Christian McCaffrey has put on the board, even though last week McCaffrey actually let some of his owners down. But you can't get too mad at him with what he did the previous 12 weeks and what he's done all year. Again, ignoring obvious names you're playing like Henry. Oh, he's been so good, finally. Dalvin Cook, yeah, I'd be a little concerned after Dalvin Cook went out of the Monday night game and just sat the rest of the game. And Madison was productive. That's a difficult call with Cook. I think he'll get an opportunity. But he suffered a chest injury a few weeks ago, and there just seems to be some residual effects from that. Also, Minnesota is in a game that they're significantly favored in. They and Green Bay have the biggest spreads of the weekend, so there might not be a need to play Cook if he needs to get healthy for playoffs down the road. Speaking of getting healthy, Josh Jacobs is not. He's been playing with a bad shoulder and finally admitted it publicly. That's just not good for Josh Jacobs owners. There's not a lot of good things happening with the Raiders. Darren Waller bubbled up a little bit last week. Jacobs is, to me, a pretty shaky RB2 play. It just feels, especially against a hot team like the Titans. Tough kid, but a rookie, and it's like, at what point? And I know we're going to get kind of as bad as the champ of the NFC East is going to be getting into the playoffs, the second wild card getting into the AFC playoffs is going to be about the same. It really will. And so at what point do the Raiders just shut Josh Jacobs down and say, kid, you've given us a great first year. We got it the rest of the way. Joe Mixon's volume has been up. Bengals win last week with Andy Dalton back. It's not a great matchup against the Browns, but Mixon is still going to touch the ball a ton. I think you're safe in playing him and just hoping he gets that touchdown. Todd Gurley, I mean, your guess on the Rams is as good as mine. I can't give you an explanation why Robert Woods is suddenly the number one wide receiver in LA and not Cooper Kupp. We already talked about Goff. I guess Gurley is an RB2 slash flex play for you, but I wouldn't be thrilled about it. Miles Sanders, keep checking Jordan Howard's status. If Howard is active, that affects Sanders negatively. Le'Veon Bell has an illness. Keep checking that going into Sunday as well. Marlon Mack, good to go against a tough Buck defense, but expect high volume. Sort of similar for a Joe Mixon situation where, you know, I just want guys who are going to touch the ball. Even if it's a bad matchup, if they keep touching the ball, still they have more of a chance to do something than players who don't touch the ball that much. Darius Geis, I think it's chasing points. If you picked him up on waivers this week off his big game against Carolina, getting Riverboat Ron canned, there's some evidence to suggest that the Packer run defense can be vulnerable to a Darius Geis. But the difference is Carolina has Kyle Allen at quarterback and Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers, and game flow is not going to be in Geis's favor. I think it's chasing points. Interesting note that Patrick Daugherty brought up on Roto World. Daugherty's rankings are very good. And beyond the rankings, you need to read what he writes below them. This the touches between Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, surprisingly close in recent weeks, and it's actually more than just a couple weeks. It shows that Jamal, if you're really desperate and Jamal Williams is on a waiver wire, he's worth playing. And it also shows that, you know, Aaron Jones cranked out a lot of touchdowns the first part of the season, many of them in just a couple of games. Why Aaron Jones is not as strong of a play as, say, McCaffrey, a Henry, a Fournette, maybe even a Melvin Gordon or a Chubb. All right, let's move on to wide receivers. Oh, and some will tell you Devontae Freeman has a great matchup for Atlanta this week. I'd feel better about it if it was the year 2015 or 2016 with Devontae Freeman in week 14 and not 2019. Wide receiver wise, speaking of Patrick Daugherty's rankings, you know, we talked a lot in the last month about DJ Moore. In Patrick Daugherty's rankings this week, he's wide receiver 4. You know, Carolina has a lot of questions going into next season. Who's going to be their coach? Who's going to be their quarterback? DJ Moore finishing strong. Wide receiver 4, only behind Thomas, Adams, and Evans in the Daugherty rankings. Yeah, I mentioned Devontae Parker is wide receiver 1 the last 3 weeks, but Moore has just had such a heavy target volume. And he's been finding the end zone in recent weeks, which he didn't until a few weeks ago. Do you play Tyreek Hill against the Pats? Yeah, you probably do. We hear Devin McCourty is not a certainty to play. Hill has had a big game against the Pats. He's had a down game against the Pats. Tyreek Hill is a guy, all it takes is one play. One play, and Tyreek Hill can give you double-digit points. It's this simple. If the Chiefs have the ball on their, you know, 40 yards from the end zone or more, and Hill gets it and just gets a lane and is gone, that's double-digit points right there. One play. So I think you play him. Let's see. Between Evans and Godwin, it feels like – I just looked at this. I think it – does it feel like Godwin, Evans. I think Godwin has the better matchup this week than Evans does. Yeah, I think I have that right, but you're playing both of them anyway, so I'm just wasting my time. I'm just spinning my wheels here. Let's see. You may have hesitated a few weeks ago with Keenan Allen. The explosive points aren't there, but the floor is there, right? I often say you just want starters who can get you double-digit points, and then if you have a couple who go off, you're going to win. But you need to have starters that get you double-digit points guaranteed. The volume of Jarvis Landry has been there. I like him more than Odell Beckham Jr., even though Odell Beckham Jr.'s red zone targets and overall his volume way up in the last month. Gardner Minshew in, Nick Foles out. DJ Chark, who has been one of the few wide receiver finds for the season in a year where it's been tougher and tougher to find consistent wide receiver points in fantasy because so many quarterbacks are spreading the ball out and so many running backs catch a significant amount of balls now. Three of the last 4 weeks, it's been a disappointment for DJ Chark. That's a tough call if you have to make it this week. If you have other options, you might want to go with that, even with the quarterback change. Calvin Ridley. Matt Ryan hadn't been the same since he came back from the ankle injury, but Ridley's had a good run recently, even though the news on Julio Jones is, I believe Julio Jones is going to be back. Sorry, I'm processing a lot of information. Check your own status on that. Even if Jones does come back, it's not like I would downgrade Ridley that much. I think Ridley is still a legit wide receiver two or a flex play. Cortland Sutton scored two touchdowns and scored them early in Drew Locke's debut for Denver, going against what otherwise looked like a bad matchup for him. Robert Woods has been, we alluded to it, of all the Rams, Woods might be the one you play. More than Cup, more than Gurley, more than Goff. Something's going on there with Woods and just what McVay has in Woods. Maybe it's how healthy he is. Maybe it's just the matchups they can create. Last couple weeks, gotten a lot of asks about Galladay, and maybe it's because the Lions have gone from Stafford to Driscoll to Blau. Quarterback proof. You play Galladay. You just do. He can put up 20 points any week. You don't want to leave that out there. He's playing for you. Lockett has had a struggle recently. We mentioned DK Metcalf has been hauling in more targets from Russell Wilson recently. Some would say Alshon Jeffrey is someone you're pushing into your lineup. I wouldn't be so sure. It just feels like you're chasing points there, especially if Ertz has another week to get healthy and be the primary ball catcher, and the Eagles are just so inconsistent with what they do, other than that stretch of three games there where Ertz set NFL records for tight ends in a three-game span. And I guess if you are really, really looking for help wide receiver wise, and you couldn't get Devontae Parker, and you couldn't get DK Metcalf, James Washington might be a play. There's another guy, one big play, and he can do it. Can get you double-digit points, and he has a great matchup against Arizona this week. Only tight ends of significance to me this week of relevance that can help you. Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, if healthy. Feels like he's healthy. I'm not excited about Evan Engram's return with Eli. I'm just not. Andrews. I like Andrews more than Hollywood Brown. I know Hollywood Brown puts up big numbers, but Andrews gets in the end zone. You know, Jack Doyle, just because the Colts don't have much else. Also, Jack Doyle is tight end significant, and that's about where it ends for me with the tight ends, at least what's predictable. Again, I'll take your emails Monday through Saturday with your playoff questions at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Remember to also listen for non-fantasy info to the Todd Wright Toddcast. We will break 70 episodes the first year, this 2019, of the Todd Wright Toddcast, where 2 months ago, I called out the College Football Playoff Committee for having an agenda and pushing the Pac-12 because the Pac-12 had only been represented twice in previous college football playoffs, And I said that was a huge conflict of interest and they weren't worthy of it. And I said neither Utah nor Oregon were worthy of being in the college football playoff, and they proved it on the field. And I'll talk about that more in the next Todd Wright Toddcast. So find that podcast as well, and please subscribe to that, as it is an annual podcast that I do for non-fantasy content. So have a good weekend, and I'll answer your questions via email as long as you get them into me before you go to bed on Saturday night. And we'll talk to you after the games are played Sunday and Monday in the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you so much for listening.